Okay, it's 4:17. Can we call the meeting to order? We have a quorum.
Okay, it's 4:15. Sorry, this time we're going to call the meeting to order. 4:15.
Okay. Anybody have any public comments to make?
No public comments.
Okay. Please take a second to look over the July and August minutes. They're in your packet. And you guys approved the July minutes already, but it wasn't on the agenda. So I'm putting it on this agenda again. I want to make sure that everything is
those are two different ones.
Are they two different ones?
These are July 11th.
Oh, yeah, this is July, this is August.
Okay. I'll just read them. I don't know how that happened.
you want to take this for me?
So you guys approved the July minutes already, so I'll just read the August 24th. 2022, a quorum was announced and the meeting was called to order at 4:07 p.m. In attendance, Charles Russell, Chriselle Perlet, Derek Sherrod, Miranda Moore, Diana Hewitt, and Terrell Hutchinson Smith. Diana Hewitt reviewed the minutes of the July 11, 2022 board meeting. Charles Russell made a motion to approve the minutes of the July 11, 2022 meeting. Chriselle Perlet second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried for unanimously. Diana Hewitt opened the floor for public comments. There were no public comments. Diana Hewitt presented the revised 22-23 academic calendar. Chriselle Perlet made a motion to approve the revisions to the academic calendar and Derek Sherrod second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried forward unanimously. Miranda Moore reviewed the final 21-22 budget amendments. Derek Sherrod made a motion to approve the 21-22 final budget amendments and Chriselle second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried forward unanimously. Miranda Moore reviewed the 22-23 school year budget. Chriselle made a motion to approve the 22-23 school year budget and Derek Sherrod second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried forward unanimously. Terrell Hutchinson Smith presented the updated special education policies and procedures. Derek Sherrod made a motion to approve the updated special ed education policies and procedures, and Chriselle Perlet second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried forward unanimously. Chriselle Perlet made a motion to approve the Findale cleaning service contract, and Derek Sherrod second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried forward unanimously. The The resolution to increase classroom size was presented. Derek Sherrod made a motion to approve the class size amendment and Chriselle Pelle second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried for unanimously. Closed session started at 5 p.m. and ended at 5:11 p.m. Derek Sherrod made a motion to adjourn and Chriselle Pelle second. There were no nay votes and the motion carried for unanimously. The meeting adjourned at 5:12 p.m.
Okay, I make a motion that the July and August board minutes, the minutes of the board meeting, the July and August be accepted as written without any correction.
Second.
Okay. Okay, what's next on the can I get a motion to approve the July minutes again? Oh, okay. And the August? Okay. Okay. Okay, next we're going to talk about the HB3. You're not ready?
No, I'm ready.
No, it's fine. We can talk about the 2021-2022 academic accountability ratings.
Okay. They have this in their packet already?
Yeah, they have that in their packet. Do you have that one?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just kind of give you guys an overview of how they came up with our ratings. It's a little top secret for them, for us also, because for me, when I average it out, but I'm going to take their averages to this all. We just come on their sites and we'll take it. Okay, so the top component, that's the district as a whole. So overall, the district ends up being a B. The second one is the Humble Campus. So the Humble Campus is also rated at a B. And right below that, each year, based upon your scores for your star results, you could earn up to 7 stars. But you can only receive those if you are A, B, or C campus. If you are D or F campus, you're not even allowed to be in the running for them. We got 3 of the stars this year. 1 for comparative academic growth, 1 for post-secondary readiness, and 1 for comparative closing the gaps. And how you receive those is they put all the schools in Texas in a group. So any of the schools that look like us, demographics like us, numbers like us, areas like us, to get the comparative academic growth and closing the gaps, you have to be in the top 25% of those groups. And we were in the top 25%, which is how we got those scores. The post-secondary readiness, how they get that is that's basically, are your kids ready for school after secondary? And they base that upon how many of your students score meets or exceeds grade level on their star. And we had top 25% of our kids, or top 25% comparatively, that our kids were at the top of that. So that's how we were able to get those 3 stars, which is huge. That means that we're closing those gaps for those kids and we're doing what we need to do at that campus. And it doesn't mean that they couldn't have gotten here at the North Shore campus, but because we got that D, they wouldn't even acknowledge us for doing those things. So the bottom one, where the D standing, is the North Shore campus, is this campus. So they're considered, oh, it cut off, you only got one. So it's, they're considered the D campus, and we already have narrowed down the component, where it was, what happened, and we're already coming up with plans. And it literally was like a 1-point differential. So we got a 64, had we got a 65, between 65 and 67, we wouldn't have been at a D. But the final score was a 69. We needed that to be a 70. And that would have gotten us to be not good. Okay.
When did they reassess this?
We won't look at this again. So this is our standard for the year. So any school that had a D or an F, they considered you not rated. So it's not against you, it's not positive, it's not negative. You're just considered a school that's not rated. They average you out, and then they come up with a score for the district, and so for the district, we have a lead.
Okay.
So those are good things. So next year, they'll look at it again based upon what we do for next year. However, because we're in the state of Texas, everything changes every 5 years. So now the standards and rating and how we come up with these scores are going to change, and we won't know anything until probably October of next year.
Are there any questions?
The one that you have, I don't know.
I'll get you guys some of the copies like that. There's printed off big for whatever reason.
That's okay. I'll run up whenever they're doing that. Okay. And make them a copy so they can have it.
But in scoring for students, I think achievement and closing the gap, that was good.
That was good. That was good. Yeah, because even over here, they still received that C, which means they were definitely closing the gaps and doing what they need to do. And right there, we see economically disadvantaged. Economically disadvantaged, we are at over 90% of our campus being economically disadvantaged. So that's good for us being able to close those gaps and things like that. Like I said, they compare you to all the schools in the state of Texas. So that was really good that I was able to get those stars.
And especially coming back, you know,
from
the pandemic,
right?
They're looking like, okay,
right?
You know, we're not as far behind.
Mm-hmm. There's growth.
There's growth.
Really,
yeah,
growth. That's good.
So what happened?
The North Shore campus, some was bad teacher placement, some was just us getting started behind the curve. Remember we had leadership change over here in the middle. So it was a lot of different things like that. I'm very proud and happy about the scores that we did were able to achieve over here. And we're just like one of those things where we're just like, just a little bit more.
That was my point. That's why it's important.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's unfair.
And we looked at to see if we could get like one or two more of the kids over, but it's a whole, they take all of it into consideration when they're looking at it. So it was like, if we could have gotten three more kids over at this level, then we would have gotten them. So it's a matter of like a few kids, literally.
Well, job well done.
Yes.
I don't like to bring other people involved, but it's a lot of other districts.
Yeah.
They're taking bloodbath right now with this. So,
they are. And I looked at some of the schools that we were compared to, and they were like some really good charter schools, like in the Dallas and the San Antonio areas. So for us to even be in the top 25%, I was like, okay,
this
not
is,
bad.
This
is
yeah.
It does.
So I'm very proud of this.
Thank you, Ms.
Wilson. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I'm going to make these.
Thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you guys for y'all's support. Couldn't do it without y'all. I'm going to make the copies.
Ms. Flower, you always do a good job.
Ms. Wilson,
Denise,
did you have to tell her when she comes back? And so I'm just going to briefly talk about our House Bill 3 board goals. And if you've gone through the governance training, I'm sure you've heard about the college, career, and military readiness goals that they are holding the board responsible for ensuring that we accomplish these goals by 2024. So they started this right before the pandemic. And we had like a January deadline of 2021 to adopt our goals and say, you know what, we're gonna have our kids ready for college, career, and military readiness. And we want the board to, you know, visit these, the goals, have the progress checks. The beginning of the year, middle of the year, and the end of the year. The last time we talked about our goals was the middle of the year. Right. And so we just kind of want to see where we are and how close we are to accomplishing the goals that we set forth. And now considering that we have been in a pandemic and we've come out, we know that a lot of kids, they're not calling it learning loss anymore, they call it unfinished learning. So they had a lot of unfinished learning. And like just looking at our goals, our progress, and this is only targeting early childhood through third grade. Because what the state wants to ensure is that our third graders, when they take the STAR for the first time, that they are ready to read. And they are, you know, they can meet grade level reading and math expectations. And so that's what we're looking. So if we want them to be fluent readers by third grade, we have to start at pre-K, kinder, first, and second, and monitor those foundational skills and ensure that they're there. Because we don't go to high school, what we determined is that we would look at our eighth grade STAR scores to make a determination if our students are on track for graduation, mm-hmm. on track to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so one of the indicators that we talked about is if they pass the STAR. Mm-hmm. You know, if they pass the STAR test in eighth grade and they're prepared for high school, then, you know, that's a good baseline mm-hmm. to say, you know what? They're probably going to be successful in high school and graduate. So we use that. And by the way, our eighth graders did a phenomenal job. So definitely we're on track with preparing kids for college, a career in either the military, if that's what they so choose to do. Mm-hmm. And so looking at our, so let me just kind of go over what we decided. We kind of set some high goals, and every time I talked to Ms. Winslow, she said, I don't remember that. And I said, remember when we said we were going to be at this presentation? She was like, girl, I don't know. But you know what? We are slowly getting there.
I have a question. I want to ask you. Do we have any component of Avid in our curriculum?
No, but I wanted to talk about T-Class, the technical assistance we're getting. That's something that we can, you know, possibly consider later, because there are different trainings and different things that we can do to help the teachers reach these goals, or help our district basically accomplish our board goals. So, but right now we have some new initiatives in place that are different from the ones that we presented last year, because now we're really fully engaged with T-Class and getting the technical assistance and identifying our third and fourth grade students in reading and math. We've adopted a new curriculum. We're using Amplify.
And just so I'm sorry to cut you off, but just so Derek, you know, when she says technical assistance, she's talking about a TEA approved company that comes in and make sure that we are implementing the new curriculum well, and kind of helping us develop strategic goals and monitoring student success. So that's what she means when she says technical
assistance. Right. So they're supporting us. They're supporting our teachers. I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago. They came down. They did walkthroughs. They give us feedback. So I was excited that we targeted third and fourth grade because it's pretty much aligned to the board goals. So it's like, you know, we have our teachers helping us reach these goals, and then we have outside assistance from the agency partnering with us to help us reach our reading and math goals.
And one more thing, you know, in trying to help us reach these goals, and we kind of look to see, okay, we're not where we want to be, so next year we will be implementing a 180-day calendar, and we will be doing the ADSEE program. So that's basically, and so we're going to be targeting second and third graders. So basically, they'll be in school year-round. Now, it's optional for the parents, but we will have the program here. Okay. To, you know, for the students, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, another initiative that we took advantage of through, like, all of the COVID money and everything.
And you know those technical assistance programs that mm-hmm. you're talking about? All of those programs foster college readiness and the military.
The military. Mm-hmm.
They do. And what it is giving them the framework so that there will not be an option for failure when they reach that next level, because that was my area, college readiness.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
And it's very big, and it's also their state accreditability for that.
Right. So we've identified like our problem areas and working to just really, you know, help assist our teachers. We know that they're novice teachers, so they need a lot of support, and so they're getting that. But even with us having just new teachers, our kids are still making progress. And when Ms. Winslow talked about closing the gaps, that's one of our board targeted goals, making sure we're closing the gaps in first grade so we don't have kids in kinder, leaving kinder on non-reading level, right? Then they get to first grade, they get some of those skills, then they get to second grade, they may get some, but they're still not independent. Right. And so, but closing the gaps, even with our board goals, for closing the gaps, we said that we would, at the end of 21-22, we said we would be at 43%. We're at 35%. So you see how closely aligned we are with closing the gaps, just not in our tested grade levels, but even on at the early childhood grade level. So I was definitely proud of that for us as a district. Our third grade math and reading, we did set some high expectations, but I think we're gonna catch them up this year. We said that at the end of 2022, we would be at 60% meets grade level. But a lot of our students scored in the approaches range. So we definitely need to work on getting them to that meets level. We were at 38% for math.
So on the STAR test, there's approaches, meets, and master. So approaches is just like the pass or fail.
Yeah.
So they're passing the test, but you want them to kind of be on grade level.
Right.
Because your meets and masters is where what the state is really scoring on. So we see here they're really looking at who's at meets and who's at grade level.
And that goes into like a rating.
Right. Because when you think about it, a kid who approaches grade level at 50%, they only need a 50, well, that means 50% of the information they didn't get. Mm-hmm. So we move them on to the next grade level. But of course, the state goes high, so I think most of the meets, they have to get it like a 75 on the STAR, and then your master's is like an 89.
And one other thing, Ms. Miller, I was going to say that I definitely want us to just kind of get together and talk, because it's different student groups. Because we had a lot of, turnover with our kids being transient. So we're looking at new student data and not, our return. Right. So they call it a control group and an uncontrolled group. Like if you get a new kid in, you don't know, but if this kid has been with you since kinder, that's your control.
Yeah, right. That's your control.
Right, we can track
them. The program is actually working.
So there's a lot of different variables that go into tracking this data. And so this is our beginning of the year meeting, but we are going to, I have it on the calendar for us to have another meeting in January to look at our new kids, look at the new data that they're collecting through district assessments, any screenings that we're doing, especially for the young babies, like your kindergarten screeners, your first grade screeners, just kind of see if they are at risk for dyslexia or whatever it could be, maybe. But we have a lot of work to do, but I have on the calendar for January. I also have, and Ms. Winslow, tell me if I'm right, we're still working with the Texas Reading Academies. So that's one of our trainings. I have Amplify and I have T-Class. And any other trainings?
Coming up? Hold that.
No, because I'm just, that will work, I guess that would target pre-K through third. I know those will. Okay, I had lead board. I took it off.
And then they just did another one. Who was it that they met with for pre-K? They just had their big training, 2-day training.
Circle?
Texas School, right?
Mm-hmm. Or something else they did too. I know that they did the gold. They did the gold training.
Oh, okay.
For pre-K, all of that. So they've had a 2-day.
Okay, so I need to get with Ms. Austin with pre-K, just to make sure.
Ms. Henderson. Not Ms. Austin.
Oh, Ms. Henderson.
She has it.
Okay. Okay, so I think we're on track. It's the beginning of the year, and so once we get in, get the trainings, and collect the data, then in January we'll see if we are, you know, making progress towards accomplishing our goals. The state of Texas said they want our goals accomplished by the end of 2024. So we still have time, and I think they're going to give us a little flexibility with that because we started when the pandemic was. So
that was my question. Is the state still allowing growth? Because I know last year.
So basically what they did is they gave us, we got points for growth. But they just used it for the kids who took the start last year.
Okay.
So any kid who chose to stay home or were still homeschooled or didn't take start.
Right.
We just didn't get any points for them.
Any points. Oh, okay. They didn't count anything for them.
They didn't count for us or against us for growth. Now, they counted whether they passed or failed.
Okay.
But they didn't count whether we grew them or not.
Grew or not. Okay. Okay, so would this be the last year that we'll be functioning under that parameter?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. This was the fifth year, so now they're going to go and readjust everything again.
Else.
So right now, they don't even know whether they're going to start with where we're at now, where we were at last year, or where we were pre-COVID with score. So they're still kind of up in the air. He didn't know where he was going to start, like, which to me is kind of unfair because when you look at it, no district is where they were pre-COVID.
That's what I was about to say.
And so that to me is unfair to go back to saying this is the standard that we have to be at this year. When nobody is there, you really have to have 2 years of growth for all your kids. So
is that what you mean by the wiggle room that you feel like the state is going to allocate to us?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking because, but the other thing I was like, oh, I hope this is not a catch 22. Because so many districts did really well this year with the, you know, special provisions that they gave us. And so now I'm like, okay, so are you going to use that to move forward? Or are you going to
come up with a new parameter?
We had our last meeting with the commissioner. Most people voted to start where we are right now. Go from there and then grow.
And grow.
It's not fair to go back to pre-COVID. And it's really not giving a good indicator to go back to last year either because a lot
right.
of it is real life.
Results, exactly.
So start from where we are and then let's go from there. So,
and then
he didn't give us a definite decision yet, so I'm not sure.
Well, you know what? If we look at the gauging of the funding that they're putting into the districts for intervention, they know
I should tell you right there,
that that's a parameter that we can kind of look at realistically.
Right.
And that was abroad. All districts.
Overwhelmingly everywhere. Yeah.
Yes, the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And even the best of the best was functioning on the same level with the lower group due to what we were going through.
Right.
Due to what the schools and the districts went through.
So,
like I said,
do we have those guidelines or those goals? I mean, do we have those goals in our possession now, or you just have
them? No. You have the, when we set the goals, it's like a 5-year plan. So you have the goals. We just have to meet to discuss the progress of the goals.
Okay.
But I will definitely make sure Ms. Miller has a copy of them also.
And we have them in our possession where we could go over and look at them?
Like right now?
No, I mean, do we have them? Have they been given to us where it
might be? I can send them out, but she's
going to
update them.
Okay.
Yeah, we
can. I want to see that, but they can also let us know. In those academic hearings, where did we get the hits from? The negative is from where we didn't accomplish. Math, science, language arts, what was it?
So it wasn't a direct one correlation. It was just overall. So like I said over here, literally was if we could have gotten 3 more kids just to pass, we would have been fine. So averaging, we're about the same across the board for all content.
For all content.
Mm-hmm. I can't say that math suffered more than reading or science. And when they give us this score, what they do is take all of your tests and average everything together, and that's how you end up either in the top 25% or the middle or whatever.
So it wasn't just, we didn't get it just off of high reading or high math or high whatever.
Let me ask you a question. Off your personal knowledge, what do you see the strength and the weakness? Is math the weakness?
No, it's more for me, it was more grade levels.
Okay.
And it was not like, oh, it was this grade level teacher's fault. But when you have, historically, if you have a group of kids that come in low, it takes 2 years to get them back
absolutely.
Up to grade level.
Yeah, absolutely.
That happens in second grade. Now in third grade, we have to test them. They did okay, barely. And then in fourth grade, we made a little bit more gains, but it still wasn't enough. So it's a collective thing. And so that's why we really did a push to make sure that our pre-K, K-1-2 programs are strong. Because for me, historically, being at the Rose School as long as I have, that was our bread and butter, was our primary grade level.
I'm about to say, that's like,
that was it.
Right.
That was it.
That's
and
what
those
I know.
Kids that stayed this, with us, those kids we knew were going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem for me that I see now is because we have so much transient.
There you go.
We can't say, oh, it's our program. It's not fair to say that because we have kids like now. I was just talking to them about a kid who's in first grade. This is the fourth school he's been in. And overwhelmingly, mm-hmm. you're seeing that a lot. So you mm-hmm. can't just say it's this one grade level. Now, are there things that we've targeted? Yeah, that's why we selected third and fourth grade. Because we know
right.
if we get them strong, mm-hmm. everything else will happen. Because
right.
it's to me, it always is like that third, fourth grade area. And it's not because necessarily the teachers, it's because this is the first year they're testing. And then now we grew a little bit more. And by fifth grade, you always see that they've done good. Our 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade scores are always pretty good. They're always...
Yeah, I'll keep them separate before you integrate them.
What do you mean?
So you have new kids, am
mm-hmm.
I correct?
Yeah.
So how is it like, mm-hmm. you just throw them all into the same
don't have enough. We don't have enough kids or even those that stay with us long enough to say...
To separate.
Separate them out.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about 3rd grade, I think when the pandemic happened,
mm-hmm.
those 3rd graders were in... first grade.
Right.
So right. they missed a lot
of
foundations.
Right.
So
the growth that would ordinarily happen in 2 years, that's just normal situation.
Right.
So that, the whole parameter changes
right.
now.
And that's
right.
across the state, so they're not
yes.
projecting us to be back on level for
exactly.
another 5 years.
That's
right.
what the commissioner was talking
yeah.
about at the conference, and he was saying, you know, we made growth. And
yeah.
You know, pre-COVID growth. He was like, but pre-COVID was no utopia.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
And
right.
unfortunately, we know that our kids in lower socioeconomic areas, those are the kids that took the hit the most, and that's pretty much where both of our campuses are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Carol's gonna get that information to me so you guys can actually see it.
Updated it.
The next thing is
January.
You are so awesome.
So we're gonna go. We're going to go into closed session at 4:50. We're not going to sign this right now because I read it and I'm going. This is the contract for the building, the new building. I see that some things are not listed in here, but I just wanted to kind of show.
I'm going to give this to you, but
and as you guys can
fine,
see,
thank you so much.
Winslow,
you
don't want to leave?
Is this different from what we decided in the beginning?
I think in the beginning we gave permission to like engage. So we haven't signed the contract. We talked about purchase price. So we voted on the purchase price, you guys said I can engage. This is the contract that they've sent.
Oh, this is what the district.
And so right now, I just wanted to keep you guys okay. abreast of what's going on right now. I'm going to legal and they're reviewing it. And already I see that, like when we went to the school today, they were like, they said, oh, all of the cafeteria equipment will stay, but it's not here in the contract. So I want to make sure that whatever we, you know, discuss is written down.
You went over there today?
Yes, sir. If you guys would like to see, we can definitely.
Yeah, I just went and looked at it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
From the outside.
No, we can, I can set that up.
Oh, I would like to see it.
Mm-hmm. It's right around the corner. It's 1500 Montgomery Lane.
You have to teach me. You know, I'm doing it almost.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's like 5 minutes from the other campus. It's 5 minutes from the other campus. But I just wanted to I wanted you guys to have this. You kind of look at it when you get time. But we are sending it to our lawyer to get it and make sure everything is good. And then at the next board meeting, we can vote on it.